Proverbs 15, verse 15, I'm going to take us to. The Lord, this morning, God just started to download some scriptures. They all flow inside the love theme and the love, the command of love. But these are specifically about Thanksgiving and how to get a Thanksgiving booster shot. Because wherever you're going to be, it may not be where you want to be. It may not be in the with the crowd. You may be wishing that somebody would finally call you and you're sitting alone in Denny's and your kids don't even bother to call. And that's where you find your life. Or you may find yourself in the kitchen cooking a meal for 18 ungrateful people. It's almost the same. It goes both ways, in and out. And God, I felt super strong to say, I want to infuse my sons and daughters with Thanksgiving and my strategy to live and have a feast, no matter what the circumstances are going to be like. So if that is good with you, I just figured he's the boss. I follow where he leads. And he said, change message. I don't take that personally anymore, like he didn't like the message. But Proverbs 15:15, this came up right after service. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So talk about attitude. If you're afflicted, nothing's good. But if you have a merry heart, which is what God's going to transfer today and impart, then we're having a feast wherever we go. So that led me to, in Proverbs, there's five better scriptures. And they're kind of an interesting better. And it's worth just taking a moment because they're right in the next one. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with trouble. Amen? Sometimes you got to just put life back into perspective and find that place inside of contentment. Oh, hey, here's the next better. Verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. So again, it's not that meal on the table that's defining the time together. The next one, I've got to go. I think it's chapter 16 or 17. I got to change notes. It's going to be chapter 16, verse 8. There's five better scriptures. We've done two. Chapter 16, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Chapter 17, verse 1. 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Now, I can only imagine. I hope your home isn't like that. You know, the Trump haters and the Trump lovers. Fighters over this and fighters over that. Could you imagine? I mean, this is going to be one wild Thanksgiving if you're in that family, where it's heightened contention. Okay, let's keep going, though. Chapter 25, verse 24, last better. And this is not personal, don't take it personal to anybody. No one paid me to put this up. But it's the last better. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Now, Jesus has told me that that's kind of sometimes what he thinks when it comes to his bride. We can get so ornery and contentious. And he said, I'm coming as soon as you kind of get yourself in equal footing. And my goodness. It's just, anyway. All right, so moving right along, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Those were just free. It's ironic, though, that the having a place inside and a place of peace and joy and love is better than having vast, what we all think we're hoping for. So take advantage of that. But here goes. I want to launch this. This is like a 2-minute attitude adjustment you can do. You can excuse yourself to go to the bathroom. Unfortunately, I hope your family doesn't follow you in there. My grandkids sometimes still do. But, if you need to hide away and reconnect, I call it the 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one is Jesus. Numero uno. He is everything. He answers anything. He resolves all things. All you have to do is come to him. You say, well, it's about this person. No, it's just he will solve that with you so your heart can return. It's about this situation that's so wrong. Return to him. He's made everything right by what he did, and he can extend forgiveness everywhere. And he just the number one is Jesus. Then these next three verses are easy to, for me, in the New King James, they go with the two things, then two words, then three words, and then four words. So the second thing is rejoice always, which is not that kind of crazy rejoicing, which we can do, and it's a lot of fun. It's this calm cheerfulness, a cheerful, calm disposition. And we are not commanded to rejoice always if we can't rejoice always. We can find that joy and then stay in it, stay in that calm, joyful disposition. Number three, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean religious prayer. It's conversational prayer. It's like continue the conversation with the Lord throughout the day. Not grumbling. He doesn't like grumbling. But he doesn't mind honesty either. It's like, again, back to returning to the Lord is number one in everything. Then we can kind of continue a conversation with him regarding help me here, show me where how to respond. I want to stay in peace and rest. Just keep the conversation going. And then number four, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Or inside of everything, give thanks. Not you may go, I can't thank God for that. No one said you had to. Just give God thanks inside of it. There's something about Thanksgiving that unlocks everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you're a doctor. What is the will of God for me? To rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. What if you work as a waitress at a Denny's? What is your job? What is the will of God for you? To give thanks. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, give thanks. What if you are a stay-at-home mom? What's the will of God for me? It's to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Because what we're doing at the moment isn't who we are. And this lifeline connection can establish for us a place of rest and refreshing and renewal and joy. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. That's another line which we might get to. But would you be willing? Can I teach you this, how to do this? It's like a two-minute tune-up. Stand up with me. Well, standing up just kind of changes the way you remember it. All right, so first thing we're going to do is we're going to focus our attention on Jesus Christ. We're going to turn our, and the way I turn my attention to Jesus is with my mouth. Because when my mouth speaks, my ears listen, my brain shuts down, and I focus. So I begin to tell Jesus, Lord, I'm here. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my sufficiency. You're my, go ahead, tell Jesus who he is for you. You're my help. You're my healer. You're my husband. Whatever you need him to be, he is. He is everything you ever will need him to be. He is. You're good. You're strong. You're victorious. You're loving. You're kind. And as our words come out of our mouth, our imagination sees them and we receive who he is. And we just connect there. We're connecting. Now, let's rejoice always. So rejoin joy. Rejoin joy. And joy is a cheerful, calm disposition toward this moment, in this moment. Lord, we thank you. Again, I use my mouth. Mouth is a steering wheel for a big car or a rudder for a ship. It's just, yes, Lord, I come into joy. I receive joy, the strength of joy, the calm delightfulness that joy brings. Yeah, and receive. Then pray without ceasing. Father, we engage a conversation to stay open. We open a conversation that we don't close. We stay able to hear you speak. We say, we're able to share where we are. We're able to be honest about our heart. We're able to agree with the word and truth. We thank you that you never left us alone, and we can always commune with you to pray without ceasing, uninterrupted conversation. Trust me, it's better than talking to yourself. You do that, just talk to God all the time. It's just so much better. He's got a good answer for everything and a good angle on everything. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then with in everything, give thanks. So now try releasing thanksgiving. Thank you for being my God, my King, my Lord, my thankful. I'm thankful. Thankful for today. I'm thankful for being here. I'm thankful to know you. I'm thankful in knowing you. I'm thankful in this situation. I'm thankful. I am grateful. I am thankful. Thank you for having the willingness to always be with me wherever I am, and therefore I am always going to see you come in a great way. You're a good God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So Jesus, numero uno, one, rejoice always, pulling in ourselves back into joy, his joy, receiving joy, activating. Pray without ceasing, having a conversation that stays, a running conversation, staying alive. And then giving thanks without, because it's God's will in to always have a thanksgiving heart and a mouth filled with thanksgiving. And boom. Do you feel better? Yes. I mean, it does adjust you. It will do it. It'll do it. Now, somebody might be saying, what's wrong with mom? She keeps going to the bathroom every 5 minutes. You can be seated. Or dad. I've had a few of those holidays where you've got, you have so many people there and everybody's enjoying everything and everyone, and you're going, would you please go home? One time it was so long, and I went out and took a walk up and down the block a couple of times, and nobody even noticed I had left. Guess that's you have a great group and people love you, love being there, but you were going. So those are how you tune yourself back up. Return, Jesus, and then let the joy come, then let the conversation resume, and then bring forth thanksgiving right there in that moment and watch your disposition change. But let's go a few more scriptures, because the Lord really downloaded a bunch of truths that you know. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, which is an interesting, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And that kind of, that tells me a lot about how prayer is functions, that prayer works when there's thanksgiving present. Prayer is supposed to have a heavy dose of thanksgiving, because you know why? If you don't have vigilant thanksgiving in your prayer, most likely your prayer is just a big complaint. And God doesn't like complainers. Do you like your kids when they whine? No. Point made. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Praying for others is always to pray for their future and what God is doing with them and opening doors for them to go forward in what God called them to be. Don't get stuck trying to pull somebody out of where they are. Forget where they are. Call them into where they're supposed to be. That's simple prayer. Look with your eyes to the people that you have struggled with and go, I just see God doing great things, but I'm not going to control it. And I'm not going to try to get you there. And I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Let God show you. It's just freedom. That I can make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. And verse 6, here's a thanksgiving scripture. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So much contention in the earth today. There's so much warring over right and wrong, and we as sons of God are not to be in that posture and in that attitude. We're not to try to point out who's right and why we're right. We just let grace, grace, grace. That's why we say grace at the table, not truth. If we are saying truth, it's got to be inside a lot of love, right? I mean, you understand. So we just let, and the salt is speaking the truth in love and so forth. Jumping to this, because I think there's an anointing. In fact, the prayer room, this was brought up. Philippians 4 says a similar picture. Thanksgiving is like a feast, a biblical feast, because it pulls the families together in all dysfunction and is centered around a time when we're supposed to be grateful, which often is one of the most difficult times because of unresolved conflicts people carry and they don't want to resolve unless they get their way. And so the truth is, no, we're not going to try to do that. So you're trying to find that place of aliveness. And I love this because God is going to make every one of our Thanksgiving the best Thanksgiving we've ever had. The best one. And not about changing the circumstances to make it better. Like some of us have prayed, oh, please don't let Uncle Al come. Please, God, if you love me, don't have him come. No, that usually is God's hearing that prayer going, you need Uncle Al here longer. You got to watch those prayers of direction. God usually goes the opposite of what you ask for on those. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Joy is strength. Joy is something that comes from within, from the Spirit, not from without, not happiness. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Very important. Gentleness is forbearance. Not a word we're using much in our media these days, but or anywhere. Forbearing. Forbearing means, no, I won't. I'd like, no, I'm just not going to do that. I think it's time to give peace of my mind. I think I'll keep the peace. It's allow that person to keep droning on. Oh, I've heard that story 16 times. Somebody tell them to stop. You know, it's just honor. It's giving space and place instead of trying to force things. And why? Because the Lord's at hand. Because he's present. He loves for us to show forbearance, and we'll see that in a moment. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So the thanksgiving is still that, it seems like it keeps faith more alive than all of the other parts of prayer. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts, your minds through Christ Jesus. So God's peace is the first fruit of prayer. When we're asking or directing or conversing, is this peace comes, and this peace guards our heart and our mind. It allows you to be anywhere in any situation and smile. You don't have to get religious. I'm not watching football. I'll go and pray in my room, and when you're done, we'll eat. No, don't do that. That is like, that freaks God out. That freaks him out. I mean, Jesus ate with sinners. He had a reputation of having really not being miffed about anything. He could let sinful women come and kiss his feet, wash his feet, while everybody else in the room is going, because he was redemption. He was love. He was accepted. He was in communion and union. So the union we're talking about is not those kinds of overt and acting out. It's that carrying that place of union and enjoyment with God. And the benefit is you're at perfect peace. So good news. To Ephesians, onward. Yes. Ephesians 4, verse 1. This is what, this is present for us today. First, the advice. Paul is great at giving advice. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I got it, Paul. I'm in. It's three chapters of heavy revy. I've gotten in the revelation of the fullness of Christ. I'm going for it. We're going to get rid of everyone who believes otherwise. Oops. No, that's not what Paul's advice is. His advice is with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. That'd almost be like a great prayer at the Thanksgiving meal. For me, I want lowliness, gentleness, long suffering, bearing with one another in love. That's the walk worthy of the calling. The calling is high. The walk is love. The love walk is entirely different. It's giving place for love wants to cover and forgive. Law wants to expose and condemn. So again, there's a lot of things you would like to say. but we can walk instead inside of this place of rest and blessing and not being phony. Look, watch this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. There was a prayer that the angels of God were coming to help us come into unity in our families. And unity will not come through truth. Unity comes from the established place that Jesus Christ has room for everybody. Jesus Christ has a plan for everyone. Jesus Christ is active inside every life. Therefore, I don't have to be contending over right and wrong. I can step inside of truth of Jesus Christ and let love flow. Let love take over. Let love find a place. And I can be in the unity of the Spirit inside of peace. Peace is huge with God. And turn with me, chapter 4, we'll go all the way to, jump ahead to verse 29. Just a little Thanksgiving advice. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, we're going to see something in a moment, so let me frame it. This is what I call, it's like two bookends, 29 and 31. And inside, you have poor, lovable, gentle, powerful Holy Spirit trapped. Because he's sealed in us. He goes with us wherever we go. He goes, whatever we do, he doesn't leave us. He is the down payment. He follows us through life. He never departs from us. So he hears what we say. He watches what we do. And he endures conflicts that we find ourselves in. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. And it may impart grace to the hearers. Remember, I want to release grace. I want to release kindness. I want to release sound. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I believe the conversation of our heart and our mouth either releases the pleasure of heaven through the Holy Spirit's joy of the conversation, or he goes quiet, we go loud, we become unaware of his provision of joy and peace and righteousness, and we get into self exaltation, trying to force our ideas and try to control, and we raise our tone, we get upset, and next thing you know, it is a miserable time. And all we have to do instead is to remember, wait a second, love is as much about what you don't do as it is what you do. 16 attributes of love, 8 of them are things you do, 8 of them are things you don't do. So this restraint that we get to find our place in. So don't go there. The Holy Spirit's got to hang out with your conversation. Don't speak evil of dignitaries. Whoever they are, whatever country they rule, whatever corporation, don't go there. It's all authority is given by God. So whoever's in authority is never to be spoken evil of. You speak evil of a dignitary, you're like, you're getting into a place that you don't want to go. You're out of your league. You're out of your realm. You shouldn't. Don't do it. When you learn that, it takes away first 90% of conversations around the dinner table. I remember President Bush, the senior president, walking out the day, morning, pick up the morning paper, read a headline. I don't even remember the headline. But for whatever reason, I decided that whatever action or decision he had just made was a wimpy. I said, you wimp. Closed the paper, went into my kitchen, and sat down, had breakfast, and dried myself. We were in a prayer meeting a day or two later, and in the prayer meeting, the word of the Lord came and said, we were praying into the prodigals and the returning and the being accepted and received back into the kingdom with the ring and the coat and the sandals and the joy and the feast. And the word of the Lord came and says, there will be no robes and new sandals and new rings and new feasts until you learn not to cut the robe off my anointed. And it wasn't to me, thank God. But once that general word came about, you know, cutting the robe of the anointed, David came and crept in. Instead of killing Saul like his companions wanted, he just cut off the robe to prove that he could have killed Saul. But his conscience defiled, was convicted that he had extended his hand even to that level of touching the Lord's anointed. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed me that. I was like, I was just came into the fear of heaven. Who am I? I mean, like, who? You know, they really calling me for advice on national security issues. Like, I am the bigger wimp that he's ever been. You know, I just started repenting because I had one of those paradigm moments. And then once I saw that, then the Lord opened all those scriptures. Never speak evil of a dignitary. Never speak evil of a dignitary. Never speak evil of one another. Speak evil of no man. So you go, for a while I just... That's why praise is so important to me, to praise Jesus, because you can speak well of him, and it's easy to do because he's deserving of it, even when you can't see it, but it frees you. So what happens is, instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So the volume, the contention, the exchanging of ideas that become strong opinions, that become arguments, all of that can be just kind of let go by just disengaging and just saying, God, I need an anointing of kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. Please, right now, in the name of Jesus, I receive an anointing of kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. Thank you. See, that's forbearance. You're pulling from the strength of the Lord. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for an offering, a sweet sacrifice of God, sweet-smelling aroma. So, again, good Pauline advice. But we'll go to Romans 1, I think 16. You might say, I can't be phony. I'm not going to be, I've got to be authentic. And we're going to, verse 18. I'm not going to be thankful if there's nothing to be thankful. I'm not going to be dishonest with God. I hate life. I hate my family. I hate America. I hate you. And I need to tell you that. And I would beg to consider that's probably not a good idea. Go watch Jerry Maguire movie again and he'll pull you back a little bit. Don't go fax the world your thoughts. Just... better to tell God what you think and see what he thinks what you think. Get it out with him. He would handle it all. But anyway, say you don't want it. You want to be honest. It's okay to be honest. There's sometimes our emotions are the perspiration of the soul. The soul makes a decision to be nice, can't connect to God where the niceness flows from, holds that niceness for a length of time. Finally, after being nice so long, you're really mad. That shows that your source of niceness is coming from the soul and not from the spirit. And therefore, it tells on you. So emotions are wonderful. They tell on us. Why am I so angry? Why do I not want to be around my children? Why do I not want to be around my dad? Why don't I want to go to this meal? Why does that emotion come alive? Where is that from? It's a great tool for prayer. Usually after meals like that, you can have a conversation and prayer for a good month of disengaging. Not to change anybody, but why is it bothering me? Why do I have to be bothered? I can be free. How do I be free? How do I forgive? And where do I have to release? And so forth and so on. But what happens if we refuse to engage thanksgiving, we shut a door to God and open a door to darkness. So it says, verse 19, because what is made known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, speaking of all of creation. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. That sounds like the fine print of a contract, doesn't it? You know, like, da 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 da. Okay. Because, here's the reason. Although they knew God, how many here know God? Right, raise your hand, don't be afraid. Jesus loves you, you know him, he loves you. Although they know God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. Two subtle, littlest of things to not glorify God. I know you're God, but you haven't done anything for me lately. No, glorify God because God is worthy, and glory is the door to discovery. Without glorifying God, where you are, you won't see where you're going. The lights turn on when you glorify God. And be thankful. If you're not thankful, you close a door to heavenly gaze, heavenly influence, Holy Spirit inspiration, joy, all the things that we're talking about, and you close that door and darkness comes. So became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We were never given a position to which we can originate life or sustain life. We were given a position, and in Christ now redeemed to this position where we receive life. And we engage from the life of God. We live from the life that God gives. So if we disengage from this, we go into self-life and self-sustaining. And we pull into our thoughts and our opinions. Well, I'm just not going to do that because this is the last time I'm ever going to do that. And from this point on, I'm going to control that situation, not get in that same situation again. All makes sense at the moment. But what happens is we end up then taking possession of ourselves instead of letting God take possession of the circumstance. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God into incorruptible God, the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. And therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. It's like every time we disengage from honoring and being thankful and holding a life connection there, we're limited to ourself. And I don't know about you, but myself is not a great savior. And the resolutions I come up with, I usually resent later. I wish I wouldn't have done that. So he's saying, just give God thanks. You follow this chapter to the end, and it takes the whole degeneration of humanity is followed all the way to the absolute base life. And it all happened because they wouldn't glorify God and give him thanks. So I found it a bunch of years ago, about the same time, about not speaking evil to dignitaries, that if I was in a really dark place and I didn't know where to go, if I would just start glorifying God and thanking him, the light would start to shine. It just never changed. I could be in the darkest of emotions or threat or fear, and I started to glorify God and be thankful. Then the light began to shine, and soon I saw it was nothing, and he carried me into where I should be. So last verse, is in Luke chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 35. Luke 6, 35. I'm going to commission us to sons of God living after this. Luke 6, 35. It says, but love your enemies. Jesus summating. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. Isn't that funny how in relationships we're supposed to give and not want something back in return? And when we give and we feel like we have should something be given back, that's our soul stepping up and saying, I've been doing this so long, where's my part? And he says, if you just give without expecting, you will have a great reward. Allison led us in this song, I give my life away, I give my life away so you can use me. Oh, that sounds so good in a worship service, doesn't it? I mean, but try washing 25 people's dishes. Well, they're all sitting there watching TV. And you did the cooking too. And nobody even liked your meal. You know, just, you know how it is. And you're just kind of going, oh, I give myself away. I give myself away that you can use me. So that's the problem. We all pray to be used. And then we complain that we feel used. I don't get that. I mean, use me. Okay, here, no problem. Here's some more dishes. He says you'll be like the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. You imagine unthankfulness is equivalent to evil? It's like, yeah, I'm kind to you even when you're not thankful. You be kind to people when they're not grateful. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Yeah. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Oh, glory to God. These are the scriptures that we cut out of the Bible. But they are there. Closing, Psalm 16. And then I want to pray this blessing over us. Because I believe this is not meant to go, oh, it maybe brings a little sobriety so we don't just feel the liberty to go off. That's good. But more importantly, if we connect to the source, which is Jesus, we can then access all of these attributes and have a glory, have a feast inside of us, no matter what the day gives us. So I want to go to verse 5, I think. Jump and see where that is. Go to verse 4. Yeah, verse 5. This is, Cammie heard this scripture, and it just put a capstone on what the Lord gave me this morning. These weren't my planned scriptures. David says, Lord, you are my portion and my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. This is our confession of hope over Thanksgiving this year. This is our confession. What she heard the Lord say was, we are to declare this, even if it does not look like this, because this is our faith in God's ability. You maintain my lot. You are my portion. You protect me. You've given me a pleasant place. You have given the lines of my inheritance a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel, and my heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be moved. We can go into this holiday with Jesus, in Jesus, experiencing Jesus, and enjoy Jesus, and allow that aroma to break out wherever we are, and not be affected by the negativity or the conflicts, because he's so much greater. He's so much greater. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh will rest in hope. Why? You will not leave my soul in Sheol. It may be hell that day, but you're not going to stay there. It may not be what you were expecting, but he says you won't be left there. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the promise to all of us is Jesus, joy, good communications with God, and thanksgiving in our living, and a posture of holding that place and enjoying the rest of the company around us. Because Jesus could sit with sinners and go, you know, I can see your future and it's beautiful. Once I get out of the grave, things are going to change for you. Life is going to happen. And that's the vision I believe God wants to give. So if we all stand up, I'd like to just say a prayer and then close it with a prayer for the food, and then we can be on to our Grand Chinese Reconciliation meal. Dear Father, you are the Father of this house. And Holy Spirit, you are the one who oversees the movement of your church toward Jesus' maturity. And you're the one that interrupted where I was going. It would have been less personal, but you wanted to give us these truths. Holy Spirit, you're the force of life that flows and energizes truth and makes it viable, experiential, enjoyable. Holy Spirit, we ask you to energize and liberate us inside these truths. Unite us in Jesus this week, throughout the week, all day long. Activate joy again, every one of our lives, no matter where we're living, no matter how life is working, no matter how bad it is or how great it is. activate the joy, the cheerful, calm disposition, and renew the conversation. An ongoing, joy, honest, truth-filled conversation. And then, Lord, create again the thanksgiving. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus, because you walked through life and nobody supported you, but you found all support in Father. And now you promise us the same support that Father gave you, you will give us. You told us to abide in your love as you abided in the Father's love. So grant us a love union right now, every one of us, so that we can be loved well and love well this week. That we can love like you love because you're loving us. We thank you for this moment. We ask you for the maturing of the sons of God in this house that's awakening. We're asking you for the unity of the Spirit to go to Thanksgiving feast everywhere. We're asking you to unlock hearts. We're asking you to bring prodigals home and elder brothers back into the party. We're asking you to heal, save, and to deliver. We're asking you to forgive and release the sound of forgiveness. I ask you to give us vision. We can look across the table to someone that looks like they'll never change and all of a sudden see the destiny of God over their life and see the future coming alive. We ask you to grant us fresh freedom to give again, to release again, to give away again. Even if we don't get anything back, that we can become like you, Father, giving freely, freely, freely. We're receiving because you've given us all things. Lots of forgiveness, lots of tenderheartedness, lots of kindness, abundance of forbearance and long-suffering to walk in a worthy manner. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're changing the world. It's through love, because love never fails. Your Son paid the price, and now we can love freely. Grant us confidence in this truth. Experience from you. We don't have to be afraid. You love us. You'll protect us. You'll be with us this weekend, this week, in every way. We bless you, Father, for this. Thank you, Jesus, for being so present by the Holy Spirit and the truth of your word. You're so present. Now, Lord, we bless China. We ask that you would bring the breaches, brokenness, the wounding, the conflict over the last 70 years. You would bring open hearts, open hands, communication restored. Not just between Beijing and Hong Kong, but Beijing and Taiwan. And without one dominating the other or refusing the other's life, that we declare something wonderful, beautiful, powerful, glorious happen. And for America and China and trade to resume, but in the right conclusion that you set in motion, that would be a good agreement, a godly agreement, one that could last for a long time. We bless nations to be at peace. We bless neighborhoods to be at peace. We bless hearts and homes to be at peace this Thanksgiving. We glorify you, God, for you are God, and we are thankful. You have fulfilled everything in your Son. There's nothing that your Son has not accomplished that we cannot access today. We bless you, Jesus, for what you've done. Now bless our food, our conversation. We bless the new ministry for single moms and widows and those who are alone. We bless those women. We bless this gathering in room 6. We bless the rest of us wherever we find a chair and table just to enjoy one another and celebrate life and your goodness over us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Blessing. Happy Thanksgiving.